Good evening, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Universe of the Soul's Evolution. And for me, it's another opportunity to explore my mind and the possibilities of life out there, elsewhere in the universe, knowing that you're listening and just really marveling, if you will. How's that for a new word, marveling? In the situation that we're all a part of, this universe that we live in, the tremendous size of it, you know, as you can tell by looking up into the evening sky at nighttime and seeing all those stars out there, which are really suns and solar systems. And they're discovering planets all the time, especially with the James Webb Space Telescope. And we're going to find out in the near future that we're not alone in the universe, that life is everywhere, although it might not be the way we know it, but the universe is teeming with life, where life is not the exception, but it's the norm. And it's just that our science and technology and astronomy has not advanced enough for us to go and see for ourselves. So we can only rely on the ETs that are out there that are visiting us to prove to us that indeed we are not alone in the universe, but they're not going to land on the White House's front lawn, so to speak, like in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. Although, if you do the research, if you're really interested, the evidence is overwhelming. Just watch the movie Unacknowledged. It's a documentary, actually. And I guarantee you, if you didn't believe in extraterrestrial life and that we're not alone in the universe and that there's been a cover-up, not only in our government, but governments throughout the world, then it will convince you that indeed there's so much evidence. It really is overwhelming. And it just all depends on where you look and if you really want to believe in the first place. You know, take, for example, the Travis Walton abduction incident, which happened in 1975 in the White Mountains in Arizona. Seven loggers who were out clearing a forest hopped in their truck at the end of the day and were on their way back home, going down a dirt road through this forest. I forget what it was called, but they saw a light. It was getting dark. And as they came around a bend, there, hovering above the ground, was about a 30-foot in diameter flying saucer, the stereotypical, beautiful, absolutely beautiful flying saucer that you hear about, that you read about, maybe about 10, 20 feet above the ground, not making a sound, and with lights flashing around it. And, of course, they were mesmerized by it. And one of the loggers jumped out of the truck and ran over to it. Unfortunately, he got zapped because he got within the anti-gravity electromagnetic field and so was thrown back. And when the others saw this, they took off down the road because they thought that they were going to get zapped too, you know, that they were violent, but they weren't. It's just that he stepped within that magnetic field and almost died, but they were able to beam him aboard, and they have that technology. That's just like Star Trek. These advanced civilizations that have been in existence for hundreds of millions of years longer, some of them that long, longer than us, have all of that sci-fi technology that we see on movies and more, stuff that we don't even know about. But they have, suffice it to say, that beam technology where they can beam any kind of matter on board or from one location to another, just like in Star Trek. It's got to do with anti-gravity, electromagnetism, of course, and then just pointing it from one location to another, you know, locking in on the molecules of whatever it is, a person or an animal or an object. And it's the finer details of matter transformation, in other words, and then reassembling the molecules at another location. So when they finally realized, driving down the road, trying to get away, that they weren't being chased by this flying saucer, they turned around and went back because they had left their friend behind, and they got to the location where it had happened, and he was gone. And the spaceship, they had seen the spaceship actually zip away into the night sky. Meanwhile, Travis Walton, on board the spacecraft, woke up. He thought he was in a hospital room. Of course, his body was kind of damaged, as you can imagine, in the ways that an electrical charge would hurt a body, you know, just as if someone had been electrocuted, but this was different. But being a highly advanced civilization, they were able to nurse him back to health. But still, at first, he was groggy, and I don't know if they administered any form of pain medication or anesthetic, anesthesia. He woke up and he saw he was surrounded by three. At first, when his eyes were blurry, but when they came into focus, he thought they were hospital doctors or nurses, but they were in fact some extraterrestrials that we hear about that have the big heads and the big dark eyes, beautiful eyes, and about 5 feet tall. And they had these uniforms on that were skin tight. And so he thought his life was being threatened, and he picked up a glass tube that was lying on a table next to where he was at, and broke it and was using that to defend himself. And he thought that they were trying to kill him. He didn't understand what had happened. You know, the last thing he knew, he was zapped. He was on the ground. And for 5 days, he was aboard that spacecraft. Meanwhile, back in Arizona, what was the name of that town? I think it was White Mountain, Arizona. I forget the name of it. But they thought that the other loggers that were with him had killed him. There had been a fight, a falling out. And one way or another, Travis Walton had been killed, and they buried the body. And so they went looking for it. They brought in dogs to help sniff around, and helicopters up above, and they had the sheriffs, and they called in all kinds of people to help, and they searched those mountains back and forth. They didn't find anything. And people thought that they had killed them, that they had killed Travis Walton. So they took a lie detector test, and they took 5 altogether over the course of the next 2 weeks. But after 5 days, Travis Walton returned, and he eventually wound up taking a few lie detector tests, and they all proved conclusively that they weren't lying. So how about that, my friends? What more evidence do you need than that? If you still want to doubt that, then you're one of those people that are like Philip Glass. Check out YouTube, some of those old YouTubes. He actually cross-examined Travis Walton, and he was there to debunk any kind of UFO encounter and the abduction story. And he was what I consider someone who was probably paid to do that, but illogical. I'm a logical person, you know. And for me, it's logical to know that there is so much evidence out there if you look for it, if you're really interested, not only in flying saucers and UFOs and life elsewhere in the universe, but also near-death experiences. Don't you know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made beings that are not invincible? And when we do reach that point where we can no longer live in our bodies that might be too damaged to continue to live in them, then we transition to the afterlife. We pop. Our spirits pop out of our bodies, and we go to the spirit realms. There's different names for it, heaven, if you will. The astral realms, there's different levels of existence in the afterlife. There is what is known as ghosts, you know, who walk this earth that maybe have been walking the earth for hundreds of years, who don't know that they're dead, who were suddenly and violently killed and They didn't even know they were alive in the first place. How about you, my friends? Do you know that you're alive now, right now, that you are living, staying alive? Yeah, that song, Staying Alive. Some people, including me, at times you just forget about, hey, I'm alive. I really am. I have the potential, and don't think of this in a negative way, to die. It's a good thing to think about because don't lose sight of the fact that you're here on Earth, that you were born into this existence to develop yourself spiritually, that you are a spirit in the material world. We all are. We are spirits in the material world, our spirits. And if the Police said that in their song from 1981, then you know it has to be true. The Police, they were a cool rock band, right? Very cool. Had a lot of great hits like Everything She Does, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, Synchronicity, Walking on the Moon. That's one of my songs, Walking on the Moon. Giant steps are what you take, walking on the moon. I hope my leg don't break, walking on the moon. We can live forever, walking on the moon. We can live together, walking on the moon. Coming back from your house, walking on the moon. Coming back from your house, walking on the moon. My feet don't hardly touch the ground, walking on the moon. My feet don't hardly make no sound, walking on the moon. Some, they say, I'm wishing my days away, no way. But if it's the price I pay, some say, tomorrow's another day, you stay. I may as well play. Walking on the Moon by the Police. That was one of the first songs I heard by them. There's also Message in a Bottle. And what else? Oh, they've got a few. King of Pain. Every Little Thing She Does, Magic. Every Breath You Take. So many good songs. So the Police said in a song that we are spirits in the material world, then you have to believe it. I'm going to take a drink. Hold on. Okay, taking a drink. The sun's going down. It's getting dark. Ah, well, my friends, the universe is really teeming with life. Einstein knew it, one of the greatest minds on Earth back in the day, you know, about 100 years ago. I think he passed away in the 50s. This theory of special relativity and general relativity, this brilliant mastermind concepts, you know, of physics and the universe we live in, and extremely intelligent man, and he knew there was life out there. It's a smart person that knows deep down in the core of their being that, hey, you know, if the Creator created all this life on Earth, the over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the seas, oceans, rivers, and lakes, over 10,000 types of birds, 10,000 types of reptiles, 9,000 types of amphibians, 5,000 types of mammals, all those individual bodies, beautifully and wonderfully made, with eyes, most of them, some with wings, metabolisms, reproductive systems, minds of their own. Take a little common housefly that has a mind that knows where it wants to go, flies where it wants to go. Its only interest is to find food and reproduce. That's what they do. Then if all that life happened by accident, then logically, right, and most people are logical, I found, logically, that life or maybe different life could happen anywhere in the universe. And I do mean anywhere. And you know how big the universe is. It's like 30 billion light years in diameter. You know, we're 15 billion light years from the central sun of the universe, where it all began, the Big Bang, you know, that where the first solar system was created. And then one by one, one solar system after another, until enough solar systems were there to fill a galaxy, because there's only a certain number of solar systems in a galaxy, and then a new galaxy has to form, right? Galaxies don't have an infinite amount of solar systems. They have a set number because they're only meant to be so big, just like in a housing development, that you have, they start building houses, and after a while, they run out of space. You know, there's no more space to build any more houses. So then they start a new housing development over there in the distance, you know? And there's a lot of galaxies out there, too. I don't want to boggle your mind with numbers, but suffice it to say that there are a lot of galaxies, and each galaxy has possibly millions of suns out there. You know, it's a number that we can't really comprehend. And behind all this, you have the creator of the universe, the great master of the universe, who is both male and female, because the universe is male and female, because the universe is the alpha, the omega, the yin, the yang, the positive, the negative. You can't have a father without a mother. You can't have children without a mother and a father. Angels are androgynous, both male and female. And they are servants of our mother and father God. Yes, they do their abiding. And when you return to the afterlife, and there is perfect order in heaven. No one went to heaven and came back and then saw everything that went on in there and wrote some works of written material, you know. There's been a lot of speculation as to the reality, the truth of the matter of things, you know. So, yes, people were inspired throughout the centuries by the creator of this world. The creator is the mother and father God, who are masters of this solar system. You know, all those other solar systems out there have different forms of life, and that life on those planets are indigenous to those planets' atmosphere, you know, and the different sentient beings that we have in our Milky Way galaxy and throughout the universe are unique. They're not all human beings. They're mostly humanoid, but there are so many different varieties, and there is a federation of planets in our galaxy and throughout the universe too. It's called the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. You might laugh at that, but you'll find out one day it is true. It is real. When we cross over to the afterlife, we're going to find out a lot of things, because once you get back into that environment, there's going to be a remembering. There's going to be access to universal knowledge. There's going to be access to all the past lives that you've had. There will be angels all around, and you will remember them, angels. Oh, my God. That's right. Those angels, I knew them before I was born. You existed prior to being born. You were an independent entity before you were born. You just don't remember because we don't remember because we were made to forget. It's that simple, my friends, because this planet is a very special learning environment. And we learn basic social values here. We learn to love. It's a very difficult school in the University of the Universe where we have been killing each other for years. And even now today, there are still wars going on because people don't love each other enough. There's not enough love to go around. There's more people causing problems and sharing love. I heard a guy last night on CNN, no disrespect intended to him, but this ramping on and on about Mr. Trump and all the bad things he'd done and when he did this, done that, and was terrible and blah, blah, blah. And they usually have, this was on Abby Phillips' show, they have a mix of Republican and Democrat-leaning people. And they have a discussion, sometimes debates, and they talk about it. And for the most part, they get along. But sometimes there's people that don't have a lot of love for Mr. Trump and we need to find ways to love each other. You know, look at the good. Say something good for a change. Just one thing, please. Just say one good thing about anybody. Don't be so competitive. Don't be like that where you're just saying all bad things. We are alive. We might not be tomorrow, right? We don't know for sure. So respect the life and the person. Have love for the dignity of that person, a human being. And you know, Mr. Trump came very close to cashing in his chips. You know, that bullet just went by his head. You know, we're blessed because if he had died, things could have been different. I know if it had been me, I would have just soldiered on. You know, I'm glad that he has kind of put that behind him and not worried about it. Have faith in God. You know, that's what you got to do. Have faith in that. You know, there was two alternatives there. One, to have transitioned to the afterlife, and one is keep on going and call it a close encounter, you know, if you will. But there's a lot of good things to say about Mr. Trump. And I love him. I respect him. I think he's got a great sense of humor. And please, let's learn to love each other. That's why we're here. Love, remember that movie Ghost? What did he say before he left Demi Moore there sitting on the ground and they had their final words together? He says, the love that you have inside, you take it with you. Can you feel that, my friends? The love that you have, that you build up inside, the love for people, for things, animals, all that love that you have, you take it with you. You build it up. You're a spirit. You're shining with a specific light, a certain intensity of light. When you're born into this world, let's say you come in with, just as an example, a 60-watt kind of intensity light bulb shining spirit, and you're here for maybe 80, 90 years. Your objective is to increase the intensity of your soul's lamp and gotta take a drink. Hold on just a second, please. 2 seconds. That's better. The objective is to graduate with a 100-watt intensity light bulb lamp soul. And that's spiritual truth, my friends. Don't be afraid of it. There's people dying all around the world each day. 40,000 people die each day around the world. And about that same number of babies are born. And all those people that die. That's in that song called Don't Fear the Reaper, Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult. That's what they're talking about. All those people that die each day. So take advantage of the time that you have. And I will too. And I've had some close calls. I think we all have, you know. You've got to be strong. You've got to be brave. And keep on keeping on. But try to squeeze in a little spiritual development, a little evolution of your soul every now and then. All you got to do is turn on the TV, watch some YouTube videos about near-death experiences. People have absolute nuggets of wisdom, nuggets of gold and wisdom to give other people regarding their experiences. I've learned so much from watching. Besides that, I've read lots of books in the past about near-death experiences. Embraced by the Light, Betty Eady, one of the most complete, profound near-death experiences ever. An amazing read. Also, Saved by the Light, Daniel Brinkley, a Vietnam veteran, someone who was a mean guy. He was given a second chance. He was hit by lightning going through a telephone back in the days when we had landlines, you know. And other people, David Oakford, Lou Famoso, Mary Helen Hensley, so many people that have gone beyond the veil and seen. Donna Ribadeau, that there is another realm completely, kind of like an underwater dimension. And when you go underwater, you know, it's a totally different dimension than up above the surface of the water where there's air and sunlight, more sunlight, put it that way. Another dimension altogether, the home of the spirit, you know, where you still have some senses, most of the senses, and things are more vividly acute, if you will. The vision is enhanced, and so are the other senses. And you can see in more directions all at the same time, and you can fly or move around very quickly. The spirit is very mobile and able to traverse long distances just by thought. If you wanted to go from A to B and you think about B and all of a sudden you're there, or you could fly there, or you could travel in the conventional mode, or you could skim along the ground in your spirit. The spirit has many different faculties, if you will. One thing is that when you do transition to the afterlife, the spirit can transform to a younger mold, if you will, like the typical mold that spirits usually transform to is an age 30 mold, so that you're young, you know, you're not too young, not too old. So age 30 is a pretty common thing when you get to heaven. People usually, like grandma and grandpa, when you last saw them before they died, they looked old and weathered, you know, their faces had wrinkles and gray hair and they've lost some teeth and maybe wore glasses. When you see them in the spirit realms, they're going to be shining brightly with beautiful smiles, perfect teeth, you know, glasses. The spirit transforms and it can change its configuration too. It's amazing what it can do. But here we are on planet Earth and we're living our lives in these bodies, and these are very gifted. They're very beautiful creations, and we're gifted. We're blessed to have these bodies. Please take care of your body. Make sure you drink enough water, my friends. I can't say enough just how important it is to drink enough water daily. Some diseases, kidney stones, diabetes, cancer, heart disease can all be avoided by drinking your daily recommended amount of water. How about that? Did you know that? Is that something that you didn't know already? Well, it's the truth, my friends. Water is like a miracle liquid. Your body needs it. And as someone who has donated one of my kidneys to my son, and my son is a two-time kidney transplant recipient, we both know, and we've gone through times, well, he has especially, finding out for himself just how important it is to drink enough water each day. So many things can be, so many diseases and infirmities and maladies and illnesses can be avoided just by drinking your high-quality H2O on a daily basis. Okay, would you do that for me? That's a tip for you, okay? Take it or leave it, believe it or not. I know you're a co-creator, God in the making. It's hard to tell some people what to do. I'm the same way. You know, I've got my ego and I've got my free will and I like to do things my way. But I do listen to what people have to say, and if it works for me, I might try it a time or two. If it doesn't, I won't do it anymore. But you can check it out for yourself on the internet. Do the research and see just how important it is to drink water each day. I'm going to take another drink. Now, I'm 70 years old. You know, I'm getting older. I might have a Heineken 0.0 beer every once in a while. I like the taste of beer. I gave up drinking alcohol back in 1988. And I was having problems keeping it under control. And then I had a couple of non-alcoholic beers, and I noticed that it actually had, back then, 0.05% alcohol. Now, lately, every once in a while, I have a Heineken Zero, and it's supposed to be alcohol-free, no alcohol whatsoever. But they're going through a lawsuit right now. This lady has sued them because she's claiming that it does have a minute portion of alcohol, less than 0.03%. But so far, the Bureau of Tobacco and Firearms has cleared it as an alcohol-free beer. So I'll see how that turns out. Because if I find out that it does have a little bit of alcohol in it, then I won't drink it. But every once in a while, I love the taste of it. You know, the beer with no alcohol is pretty cool. And then I'll also drink maybe some fruit juice. And like today, we had lunch at Papa Do's, which is like a Cajun seafood, very high quality restaurant. I think it's a chain here in Texas. And I had a Topo Chico, which is a mineral water, you know, bubbling, sparkly mineral water. I'm going to take a drink. Well, my friends, right now here in Texas, it's about 70 degrees. The sun has gone down. I see a little bit of light over there in the distance. And it's feeling pretty comfortable, but that's going to be changing. As you know, here probably by tomorrow, when that cold front blows in, and temperatures are going to be getting down to the lower mid-20s, and we might cancel some events at work. I think I told you last week that I bought a new house, and I've been talking with Doug and Dawn about it, and I wanted to, I'm getting close to retirement, and I was going to retire. I pulled my retirement paperwork because I'm making really good money now. I don't want to give that, up. I'm very grateful for the job I've got. And I don't want to have to retire and then, I don't want to retire and then find out I have to keep on working and then not even get paid a third of what I'm making now. So I made the decision to pull my paperwork back and I've continued working. I told my leadership and it's just going to be one day at a time. When you get older, it seems like time slows down. I don't know why that is. For me, anyway, one of the longest times in my life was from age 62 to 66 when I was eligible for receiving Social Security. And it's like when you're in the Army. I did 22 years. When you reach 20 years and you know you can make a pension, you can start getting a pension, then you start seriously thinking, well, maybe I'll get out, you know, because I can make my pension and get another job and be making more money. And I did two more years and I got out at 22. Same thing with Social Security. Although if you're making more than $85,000 a year, then they're going to tax that money that you make. And in the long run, you don't, it's not worth it. It's only worth it if you take the Social Security at your full retirement age. I went down to the Social Security Administration. They said, if you take it now, you're not going to get anything. And you're only going to start getting something the last few months before you reach 66. And then you're only going to get paid at the age that you started taking it when you officially took it at, like 62 or 64. So it makes sense to wait until you're at full retirement age. And that was, like I said, one of the longest times of my life waiting, you know, for me to reach full retirement age 66. But it really behooves you if you can wait until you're full retirement age, my friends. I know it's hard, especially when you need that little bit of extra money. But the longer you wait, the more money you make, you know? And I'm going to take another drink. Back to the universe. The James Webb Space Telescope has been very awesome and exploring the universe, seeing out there beyond what the Kepler and the Hubble Space Telescopes have seen. And especially the Hubble Space Telescope showed us just how beautiful the universe is and how large it is. And we're a part of this whole situation. This is like a simulation, my friends, like in the Truman Show with Jim Carrey. Even though it's a very complicated and complex situation, we're in real live bodies, you know. We're spirits in the material world. We're spirits of the universe. And we're a part of the Supreme Creator. I've said this before. I'll say it again. The Supreme Creator of the universe, who initiated the Big Bang, commanded the four forces of the universe. The first force was the force that created the suns, the planets, and the moons. The second force created all the plant and animal life. The third force created the sentient life. And I'm talking about the thousands and thousands of humanoid species, different shapes and sizes, different colored skins, different kinds of skins, different hair, some without hair, different shapes of eyes, different sizes and shapes of eyes, different heights and widths and light beams. So many thousands of different varieties, especially in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. And these beings have been in existence for millions of years, some of them longer than we have. And they're so incredibly intelligent, you know, and they know how many past lives they've lived. They know all about, they have that access, not unlike us who were born into this world and made to forget, going through that river of oblivion, that veil of forgetfulness, where we don't have access to universal knowledge like we used to, and we don't know how many past lives we had. How many past lives do you think you have had, my friends? Maybe 5, 10, 15, 20, 50, 80, 100, possibly. You are an eternal. You are an eternal soul. Does that shock you? It shouldn't. You will live forever and ever, not 50 years, 60, 80 years, 100 years, 110, 120. No, you're going to live forever, my friends. Now, your physical body is part of this environment here, Mother Nature, if you will, from dust to dust, you know, made out of the dirt in the ground, from clay, molded from clay, like the Bible says, you know, kind of just as an example to describe how the body was made. You know, it was fearfully, wonderfully made. The first human beings on this planet were from a planet in the Milky Way galaxy called Bacchicherini about 1.5 million years ago. They came here because their planet was cooling down in their solar system, probably a few light years away from Earth. And it was a black race and a yellow race, an Asian race, in other words. And they settled, the black race settled in Australia, and the yellow race, the Asian race, settled in what is now Burma, China, India. And they got along together, not always, on that planet, Bacchicherini, taking you on a little history lesson of that planet. They actually had a war where they destroyed, most of them were destroyed. And eventually, after recovering from that war, they began to increase the numbers again. And then they got along because they realized what they had done wrong. And they also realized that love was the answer, love is the key, and it was of no value to be hateful towards each other, that it was a dead end. You know, self-destruction shouldn't be an option. It's something that disrespects the creator of the universe, who is all about life and not death. So they got along with each other, and they, before they came to Earth, and when they had to, because their planet was cooling down, they were very adoring of each other. And so they settled down and they shared the technology. And that was the beginning of it. And so you're entitled to your opinion. If you think the black race originated from Africa, you can believe that if you want to. I'm just saying, from my research, the black race originated in Australia, and the Aborigines were ancestors, or those black people were ancestors to the Aborigines. And they were a tall black race, you know, with frizzy hair, like maybe 7 feet tall. And then, thanks to gravity here on Earth, they eventually got shorter over the centuries. And then there were some extraterrestrials that came from another planet that settled in Atlantis, and another group of extraterrestrials that settled in Lemuria in the Pacific Ocean. Atlantis was in the Atlantic Ocean. And then there were the ones that came and settled in Peru, you know, the Incas, and there were the Aztecs and the Mayans and the Egyptians. And then the Bacchicherinians, they went to the east and went to the west, and they settled all around the earth. And the Arab race were a mixture of the black and the yellow race, and mostly began forming in northern Africa, that region there. And so the blonde, blue-eyed extraterrestrials were, I don't know, from one planet, but they settled in Atlantis and in the North Atlantic Ocean, probably off the coast of Spain, maybe a few hundred miles west of Spain, back in those days, many, many thousands of years ago, my friends. But as what happens typically, from what I understand, every 15,000 years or so, there's a reshaping of the Earth's surface that's due to a neighboring solar system coming in close proximity to ours and the electromagnetic field of some planets in that solar system can cause our Earth to stop rotating on its axis. And when it does, then all heck breaks loose. There's earthquakes that start happening all over the planet, and volcanoes start exploding and spewing their ashes into the atmosphere, blocking out the sunlight. Storms develop with speeds in excess of 300 miles an hour. It's very hard to survive in those conditions underground, possible, you know, if you're prepared for it. And some people might get lucky, you know, and there's tsunamis that wipe, go across the face of the earth, wiping out everything in their path. Some that it may be 1,000 feet high, you know. So reshaping, total reshaping of the Earth's surface, and then the Earth starts rotating on a different axis, you know. And it's a brand new start. And this has happened a few times in our past. When asteroids hit the Earth and wiped out the dinosaurs all those years ago, same thing happened. You get like an asteroid that is maybe 400 miles in diameter traveling at 20,000 miles an hour, and it slams into our planet. Can you imagine what it's like? It's hard to comprehend the power of that impact. And it would stop the Earth from rotating on its axis, and that's happened a few times in the history of the world, which I estimate to be from the beginning it was created approximately 2 million years old. And don't believe those. Well, you can believe them if you want to. They talk about the sun and Earth being billions of years old. I don't believe that. I've done my research. I'm not qualified, perhaps. I don't have the degree that they do. And I'm not someone who thrives on being self-important and proving to other people just how important they are and how smart they are. I'm someone who just is a truth seeker. I just want to know the truth, and I'm going to take a drink. No disrespect intended, but, you know, that's the only way I can explain why they want to say those numbers. You know, we're only just in the beginning stages of finding out. I mean, only just now, really, becoming technologically proficient where we can really find answers to our questions about the nature of this planet and the nature of the universe and whether we're alone or not. How am I doing on time? 44. Can take a drink. So it's pleasant right here, right now, in Southwest Texas. And it's been cold in the mornings. I come out here to my patio, and I like being in the outdoors, you know. I'm not one of those people that set up my workstation inside. I like my workstation to be outside, even when it's really super hot, too, and I'll be sweating. And I work from my workstation, and I got my fan going overhead. When it's cold, I put my heater on, and my hands get cold, but that's all right, you know. I love it. I really do. And now we're getting ready to move into our new house, and my prayer is that God will bless us and help us with this transition, because we throw a lot of stuff away and then move that stuff, the other stuff we've got, over to the new house and get this house ready for sale. And God keep us safe and well in that transition from this house to the other house. It is in a really neat area. It's like a green belt. There's some lakes nearby. And it's a new neighborhood, so we got to go through that whole new thing again. When I moved into this house in 2010, over the course of years, up until now, but not so much recently, there were scorpions all over the place. I've seen about 40 scorpions, either outdoors, around the house, or indoors, over the course of years. And they have a nasty sting. You know, you want to avoid them if you can. My wife got stung by one. She picked up a dog bed in the backyard here and put it alongside of her thigh as she was walking, and there was a scorpion on the bottom, and it stung her like three times in her thigh, and she was a little bit under the weather for a day or so. And then there's rattlesnakes, too. When you move to a new location down there, especially by the lakes, there's some lakes down there. It could be rattlesnakes and water moccasins. And I've seen 6 rattlesnakes around our house here. I had to kill them, you know, because they're very dangerous for the pets and for people, too. And there was actually one down the road there. A neighbor asked me if I could dispatch one of them for that snake for her. And it was about maybe a foot long, foot and a half long. And it was in her alongside of her driveway. And she was, her and her mother found it. And so they didn't know what to do. And so they came and knocked on my door. And I went over there and took care of it. I don't like killing anything, but rattlesnakes are nothing to mess around with, you know. They can ruin your day for long, and they can ruin your life, you know. You get bit by one, and then the skin will develop necrosis, and you start melting away, and you can carry that scar for the rest of your life, you know. It can ruin some parts of your hand or your foot, you know. Especially if you're like going out running or walking, it could change you in the days and weeks and months and years that come after that. So, my friends, there's nothing to be afraid of. But I heard once there's 3 things to remember that our Mother and Father God, who are separate from the Creator, you have to understand. The Creator of the universe is separate from the co-creator gods, who are the co-creators of our solar system, you know. They are spirits who, like us, went through that process of evolution, who lived lives on planets like this one, and evolved through that process of reincarnation until they became co-creator gods and were able to utilize the cosmic forces and powers of the universe by simply using words to create not only the sun and planets, but also all of the spirit children in the solar system. The 7 billion human beings that are on this planet are all children of the Mother and Father God. You will see when we go to heaven. Heaven is that world of light over there in the distance that provides heat and light to our planet and every other planet in our solar system, which are serving a purpose, believe it or not. And when we get to heaven, that world of light, that spirit realm, if you will, we're going to see, like I said, it's going to be a remembering. That's where we existed before we were born here on this planet. You're going to be coming in contact with your deceased relatives, people, relatives you didn't even know you had, and friends that passed away, people that you knew that passed away. People from all different cultures throughout the centuries are going to be there, all worshiping the Mother and Father God and the Creator of the universe. So you understand, they're separate entities. The Creator of the universe started it all, and that was the plan, to create solar systems and galaxies that are commanded by, if you will, I use the word commanded, by co-creator gods who can be like the Creator but can't be the Creator. And this gives the Creator of the universe what she desires, that growth, if you will. And there's nothing greater than growth, my friends. Growth is the primary reason we're here, to grow and develop. And that's what the Creator of the universe desires and craves. The growth that we acquire is shared with the Creator of the universe. That growth that is ultimately assimilated into the ocean of the Creator Spirit, like a drop of water, that will eventually then make the Creator bigger and greater, if you will. It's like the Creator at one time, in the beginning, there was darkness and silence and nothing but the Creator. And then the Creator thought of a way to grow and expand itself. You know, we know about growth here because we're born as babies. and hopefully we grow to be a ripe old age. And so we've achieved that growth from a baby to an adult, hopefully an old adult. And so we know what it's like to grow, and then we raise our children, and we see them grow, and we know about growth. We're growth masters, you know. But then that's why we're here. We share that growth that we have acquired, and we assimilate it into the Creator's spirit, if you will. We're a part of the creation of the universe. We're like mini gods. We're microcosms of the universe, helping the Creator. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Creator. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the Creator of the universe. If you want to learn about the Creator of the universe, watch this video on YouTube from Donna Rebido here. She had a near-death experience. Rebido, R-E-B-A-D-O-W. Or you can just type in Creator of the Universe, NDE, near-death experience. She drowned. She drowned. She really drowned. You have to believe that. She was underneath the water. Her lungs filled with lake water. And she had an encounter with the Creator of the Universe. You know, all you've heard about the Bible and the Father God, I mean, you can use that as a stepping stone. Always keep improving yourself, growing, learning new things. Keep your mind open. Seek the truth. The Creative Universe is real. And this is His, her creation. And we are children of the Creator of the Universe. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We have hearts. We have minds, brains. We have spirits. We are spirits in the material world. We're evolving through that process of reincarnation. And we're providing the Creator with what He, she wants. We are working in coordination with, if you will, with the Supreme Creator. I'm going to take a drink. So watch that video, please. It's a great video, and she is an advanced soul. You know, we are different levels of souls, our evolution. In our evolution, you know, we could be young souls, intermediate souls, advanced souls. I don't know what I am. And it doesn't matter, really, because we're all in this together. We're kind of like brothers and sisters. And you might have some brothers or sisters that are older than you are. That doesn't mean that they're any better than us. You know, it just means that they've been in existence longer than us. The same thing when you're an old soul. And we can learn from each other. You know, the learning never stops. Learning should be a sharing of ideas. Don't let someone tell you, oh, this is the way it is. You know, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. Believe yourself. We walk alone, you know. And we are spirits in the material world. Yes. I'm going to take another drink. I think I'm running out of time. My voice gets a little bit dry. Okay, I got 1 minute, my friend's going to say a prayer. Creator of the universe, you are awesome. Thank you for the miracles of all creation. We love you, and we know that you love us, and that everything is the way it is supposed to be. Everything's the way it's supposed to be, and everything's going to be all right. Please bless us, all your children here on earth. Help us in any way we need it, please. Help us to evolve. This is a very difficult school, a difficult learning environment. We need your help. We always need help. We need each other. Help us to love each other. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your love. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.